Hey y'all, it's Kobe R. Rice, and I am back again with another Creative Weekly Update. Now, I warned you guys about this podcast, like, way ahead of time, and you guys know that it's not going to get personal today, but it is going to get, like, really reflective, okay? Because, of course, this is getting closer to the end of the year, basically starting to wrap things up, including, you know, my analysis, my personal anecdotal and my financial and statistical analysis of the progress of Rebel Ragdoll for 2017. And I'm also thinking about what I'm going to be doing for 2018. And I decided to call this podcast the 4-year reflection because I'm not just reflecting on 2017, but I'm reflecting on my author career from 2013 to 2017, comparisonitis, because I've been having a case of that lately, and then facing self-doubt, right? So, you know, I hope that you guys will be able to find, like, some empowering nuggets here just by, like, listening to, like, my journey and my reflective thought process or whatever. But in any case, let's just get into it. So welcome to episode number 38 of Kobe's Epic Fantastical Journey of a Black Female Sci-Fi Writer. I am Kobe R. Rice, sci-fi and urban fantasy and epic urban fantasy novelist. And I am coming to you with basically like a weekly update of everything that I do creatively in my life, in my business, and like also to a certain extent, I get into like some personal stuff and financial stuff because I feel like it's going to like benefit you guys in terms of like building a creative life that you like and that you want to live. So welcome back. Thanks for being with me. And this is episode number 48, which is not only, again, reflective, but also literally 2 episodes away from my 50th episode milestone, which is pretty incredible. I literally would have made about a year's worth of podcasts in 4 weeks, and I will have hit the midway point to 100 podcasts in 2 weeks, which is absolutely insane, right? I mean, I'm really excited. I listen to Joanna Penn all the time in her Creative Penn podcast, and she basically says that she does not take any podcast seriously that I think is anything less than 30 episodes or even 50 episodes. So now I feel like I'm becoming a serious podcast. So anyway, quick announcements, as usual, this month's selection of dark and gritty sci-fi, fantasy, and horror novels, as well as dark and gritty sci-fi, fantasy, horror, romance novels, are definitely available at newadultnoir.com. That's newadultnoir.com, where you can basically go to get and discover all your most amazing, incredible dark and gritty sci-fi and fantasy and horror reads. So if you are into sci-fi and fantasy, but you like it dark, you like it bloody, you like it violent, you like it gritty, you like it a little bit sad, a little bit melancholy, lots of gray areas, lots of anti-heroes, like this is the place to go, all right? So we have our monthly selection of free novels available at our November dark and gritty free novels section. If you just navigate to the site, you'll see where the free book section is and you can just go wild. And of course, we have our 10 new, fresh, hot, and of course, dark sci-fi and fantasy novel series that is on our series discovery page for the month of November. So if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely go to newadultnoir.com, get your life, get free books, find new amazing series. I'm definitely finding new series with every single author I present and I put out there. I also get really wrapped up in their worlds, their characters, and their stories, and it's just been a great experience for me personally discovering all this new literature, so I hope that it's a good experience for you. Also, pay attention because we have our biggest giveaway of the year, the 25 Days of Box Sets giveaway, which is coming up December 1st, but as I told you guys on the last podcast, it might be coming up even earlier than that. So pay attention to New Adult Noir, the blog. Pay attention to ColbyRRice.com, which is my website, ColbyRRice.com. And also pay attention to social media because you never know when the big giveaway is going to pop up out of nowhere, more than likely way before the actual giveaway is supposed to open. So pay attention. And having said all of that, let's just get in right into the podcast. So basically, like, one of the biggest things that I've been dealing with aside from, you know, graduate school and just trying to finish up the semester and chugging along to the end, is that I really have been reflecting a lot on my progress for this year and my progress in general over the last 4 years. And I am really happy for the most part with the strides that I've made, with the improvements I've made to my brand. My brand has certainly come a very long way since I first launched my novel in 2013. I mean, my website has come a long way. Just the tech I use has come a long way. I've come a long way. And, you know, that's well and good. My subscriber list has literally exploded into, like, I guess now maybe like the tens of thousands. I don't know if you call like 15, 17,000 plus like tens of thousands, but it's getting there, right? And I have a really great, I would say thriving or starting to thrive blog business that's a subsidiary of Rebel Ragdoll that's really helping to increase our revenue. And every single year, my books make more and more money, even though I'm not releasing as often as I would like. And we'll get into that in just a second. The discoverability of my books has increased exponentially, not through only the giveaways that I host and the newsletter swaps and stuff, but also through basically just my book being out there. You know, when it first published in like mid-December 2013, it basically was like non-existent on the list, like way down on Amazon's free book list, way down on Amazon's paid book list. And, you know, the Amazon free and paid lists are not the end all and be all, certainly, but that is still a major difference from today, or rather this year, wherein The Given, which is the first novel in my Books of Ezekiel series, is consistently in the top 100, and I don't even really do much to market it. So it just goes to show, like, this is not to say that you should just publish two books and just be done, you know, I'm not saying that, but it just goes to show that the audiences for your books will grow as long as you stay in the game and you keep marketing, you keep expanding, you know, you keep making improvements to yourself, to your books, to your craft. And you just, time in the market is very important. I would also say that, like, you know, writing quickly and having a quick, rapid release time where you're releasing books in rapid succession is also really important. And that's actually the part that I have really struggled with over the past almost 4 years now. I think December 13th will be year number four that I've officially been published as a novelist. And while I've grown in many different areas and I'm very proud of myself as an author and as a creative businesswoman and as like a fempire builder, I know there are a lot of different improvements that I can make on specifically on my writing speed, my publishing speed, and just getting the books out to my audience. Because I mean, believe it or not, you know, and you'll experience this eventually if you're an author as well, there are people who are waiting for the next book. And it doesn't matter if it's just one person, a family member, or thousands of people. I feel as though, you know, if you're serious about making a career out of this and treating your fans with respect and loving them and basically just like making them a part of your literary family, then you really need to respect the fact that they are true fans of yours and try to get your work out in a timely fashion. At least that's how I feel. And this is not to judge anybody out there or you guys or whatever, but this is actually a huge source of like my own guilt and my feelings of like failure, so to speak, in certain aspects of my career. And it's definitely the source of comparisonitis. When I look around at other authors who are able to just produce really rapidly, I sort of wonder like, damn, like, why can't I do that? Like, I type and I write and the story is coming along, but it's just not coming along as quickly as I would like it to. And it just really is just kind of discouraging, you know, for me personally. Having said that, so that's the part that I'm feeling sort of insecure about. Having said that, I also tend, when I don't have like a million things going on with graduate school or whatever, I average about anywhere between like 20 and 30,000 words a month, you know, which is really incredible, right? It's just that like sometimes they are focused on one book, other times they're scattered across my projects. And so, you know, I think I've been trying to do this in 2017 and I've gotten a little bit better at it. But I think for 2018, the main focus is going to just be, trying to hone my focus, trying to write more quickly, and trying to just get the stories out as quickly as possible. Not to the public, actually. This is actually me just trying to get the story out on the computer / on paper, you know, because what I eventually want to do in order to cure this really bad habit of writing and writing and like not publishing is that I really just want to complete an entire series, just sort of like behind the scenes, and then literally release the entire series in a single year, like in rapid succession. Boom, 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 boom. Once every 2 months or once every month, once every 3 months, if it's like a trilogy or whatever, you know, that's really how I want to make things go. So in terms of like thinking about where I can improve as an author, I definitely have decided that for 2018, I'm really only going to focus on getting one novel, one big, fat, you know, published novel out there, which is going to be Hollow Point if I don't finish it this year. And then I would like to get out 3 novellas. And I think I could swing 3 novellas. And they're each going to be in a different series. So I want to focus on getting out the novella for the Hitman of Happily Ever After series. Even though I'm writing Rose and John Doe's right now, I still feel like I need to fill in some gaps, and doing sort of like a genuine prequel where you set up the story prior to the real story happening, but in novella form, so I don't have the pressure of writing a long novel. I think that is actually the best way to go. And then once I get that out, I'm going to try to follow that up with the prequel novella to the Asylum trilogy. And I think that's going to be basically my focus for next year. Getting out Hollow Point and Lucy Goosey, which is the first prequel novella in the Hitman of Happily Ever After series, and then going out with Peplum, which is the first novel in the Asylum trilogy. I guess if you count the novella, it's actually a tetralogy, but like, you know. And then as I'm doing those smaller projects, what I'll be doing behind the scenes is literally banging out the series, just writing the series for Hitman of Happily Ever After throughout as many books as I can, writing the Books of Ezekiel series if possible. It'd be nice if I can release The Haunt next year. We'll see. And that's book 4 in the Books of Ezekiel, but we'll see about The Haunt. I'm not sure. And then also just be working on the Asylum trilogy. And honestly, I'm not going to put any more pressure on myself other than that. Hollow Point, Lucy Goosey, and Peplum. And those will be my publishing goals for next year. And then, again, in the background, I'll be working on all the other series, just like getting the series out on paper, getting them edited, getting them perfected, and then when they're ready, just releasing everything in rapid succession in 2019. I think trying that model is something I need to do, because I really don't want to be the author again in year 5, because 2018 for me is essentially year 5 of me being an author. I really don't want to go into that year, I don't want to leave that year not having finished the projects that I set out to finish. I do want to be prolific. I want to be one of the most prolific Black female sci-fi and fantasy writers to ever have lived. That's my goal, because I have a lot of stories to tell, but also I just like the challenge, you know? And I can't be prolific if I'm not really releasing my stuff and releasing my novels in rapid succession. So that's the plan for Rebel Ragdoll Press, I think, at this point. And, you know, in my sort of void, my spiral down into comparisonitis between myself and other authors, I did make some really amazing discoveries. One of which, as I actually told you guys a few weeks ago, was J.A. Huss's The Perfect Year. And she honestly, like, she's such a bad bitch. Like, I mean, I just, like, I know some of you guys don't like that word, but when I say bad bitch, I mean absolutely 1,000%. I mean that in the positive, and I mean that in the, like, I am in awe of J.A. Huss and her hustle and her grind and just everything that she does. Her, Joanna Penn, Morgan Rice, S.M. Wren, like those 4 women, and many more, obviously, many more than that. But those 4 women are like literally my like author goals in real life form. And for J.A. Huss in particular, I was telling you guys about this amazing class that she has absolutely 1,000% free, that she made PowerPoint slides for. She has examples for all this stuff about basically having the perfect year as an author and a writer. And she gives release schedules and plans and like production schedules. She gives like samples of these for if you want to release 2 books a year, 3 books a year, 4, 5, and even 6 books a year. And it's just amazing. And I would love to be like in the 6 books a year category. I think if I really, you know, work on myself in 2018, I can be in like the 5 book, 6 book a year person category. And she just gives all this amazing advice, and I'm just like literally eating all this up and taking notes, because you guys know how I feel about Creative University, right? I mean, I basically feel like you guys should always be learning about whatever it is you want to do and then some, you know, like reading nonfiction books, reading entrepreneurship books, reading everything and anything, reading lots of fiction, obviously, but also taking classes, marketing classes, entrepreneurship classes, selling classes, writing classes, world building classes. You know, if you're a filmmaker or a game designer, you should obviously be taking filmmaking classes, directing, screenwriting, TV writing, producing, special effects, editing, post-production classes like music. Like, I'm just all about just continually and incessantly training yourself to be a master. And speaking of masters, commercial break, yay! Masterclass.com is giving me my entire life. So FYI, Masterclass.com, which basically has all of these masterclasses that are put together by like some of the biggest, most successful creative people out there, from sports figures like Serena Williams and Steph Curry to major Hollywood bigwigs like Shonda Rhimes, Werner Herzog, Aaron Sorkin, you know, to dramatists, to like performers like Usher and Christina Aguilera, to even cooks like Wolfgang Puck and freaking Gordon Ramsay, whose class I'm taking right now, who is giving me my life. Like, masterclass.com offers you all of these classes from like the masters in their field. And they literally have just opened up a yearly subscription model where you get unlimited masterclass access to any class you want, whether it's 1, 3, or all the classes, for just $180 a year, which is completely worth it because the individual classes themselves are literally $90 each. So I had already bought, I think, 3 of the masterclasses. I had bought, 2 of them. I bought James Patterson's masterclass and I bought Aaron Sorkin's masterclass over the summer, and I guess that qualified me for then the automatic free upgrade to masterclass.com's unlimited offerings. I don't have to pay another $180 until literally this time next year. So between now and this time next year, I have all the access to masterclass that I want, and I will be in that class training like a freaking ninja assassin to be a better writer, a better filmmaker. They even have acting classes with Dustin Hoffman and Kevin Spacey, who, you know, despite the fact that he's in the media for some very unsavory stuff right now, is still an amazing actor. So at least in that regard, you can learn a lot from him, and you don't have to worry about, you know, him coming on to you because, like, he's on the computer screen, not in your face. Low blow, sorry, but that's what happens when you're, like, a rapist and a pedophile. So I don't feel bad for you, Kevin Spacey. Peace out. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. So, like, the perfect year is essentially, in my opinion, like a masterclass in indie romance marketing and selling for indie romance books. I mean, and I have no idea. I mean, I think it's amazing that J.A. Huss is offering it for free, but she could totally charge. I mean, in my opinion, she should be charging like at least $300 a piece for this class. Like, that's how valuable her knowledge is. And she's also just like really chill and cool and like curses a lot, which is totally like my thing. So I feel like we're kind of like spirit animals. And she just gives like a really great blueprint. And then she also has another like 6 to 7 module class with PowerPoints and everything on writing the perfect story, which is obviously like her forte because she has a rabid fan base. And I'm just like, girl, like, you're offering all this for free. Okay, I guess I'll just take advantage while I can. But when I'm done, definitely like sell this. I don't think she has any intention of selling it, though. So if you're interested in writing the perfect story and having like the perfect year and being a badass like J.A. Huss, definitely check her out. Side note, also Joanna Penn at thecreativepen.com has a really lovely selection of master classes that she offers on writing like your first novel and selling and, you know, all that stuff. So just get your life with that. Anyway, so I got off track with my little advertisement, but basically, you know, I'm just trying my best to take what I'm learning from the Perfect Year masterclass. Oh, sorry. And I'm trying to apply all of the knowledge I've learned to the kind of year that I want. I'm not going to be using every single aspect of J.A. Huss's technique because I don't know if I have that kind of time, but I will be taking like a lot, and I mean probably like 75% of what she's telling us to do and like actually apply it. But just like with anything else, and she's admitted this herself, it's 50% of it is making sure you write the book or the books and make sure that they are finished and that they are well done. And so that's the part that I really want to work on. I'll be doing that all throughout 2018, hopefully with an eye towards early 2019, pretty much every month, I'm crossing my fingers, releasing something new to you guys. So, you know, 2018 will be scant, but it will certainly be meatier than what you guys have been getting from me since 2014, 15, 16, and now 2017. Although I will still be also running New Adult Noir as my blog and introducing you guys to a whole bunch of different new authors who are amazing and who already have their processes down pat. So that's one thing that I really love about New Adult Noir is that I don't feel stingy or selfish. I do it because I really do love introducing my readers to work that really just pulls at me and that I love. And I hope that you guys enjoy it too. So let's see. What else is there going on? I think I sort of blew through everything. I talked about focus. Look at my little note card here. Isn't it cute? Let's see. So you guys know eventually that Rebel Ragdoll is going to be not just publishing my books and like making my movies and designing my games, but I do eventually want to be optioning and purchasing scripts and producing other people's work. I want to hopefully be able to do like a collaborative publishing style model for like Rebel Ragdoll Press, where I'm helping others to publish their books. I don't know about owning people's like rights or whatever. I'm not really sure I want to deal with all that. But in terms of providing a space and a collaborative medium through which people can like get help publishing their works, I'll certainly help out with that. I want to like expand, grow into different areas, but then also have the capacity to like hire women in the community, hire people from disenfranchised communities, you know, and just hire people of color. I want to give that back to the community. And so that is still very much on the timeline and in my goal list and in my vision. But I probably won't even look at opening up Rebel Ragdoll to like those kinds of acquisitions until 2025, the earliest. I know that sounds a little bit crazy and maybe a little bit disheartening to those of you listening to this, but the reason for that is that I have to, in order to have people earn, like in order to earn people's trust and have them basically put their faith in me to be able to take their brand from like 0 to 1,000, I have to show that I can do that for myself first. You know, I have to show people that I can make a living, a really good living, off of being a sci-fi and fantasy novelist, because I've honed down my voice, my writing speed, my style, and my marketing, my publishing, selling, and marketing process. Like, I want to be able to show and prove that I can create a career off of this. I can already show and prove how to finish a novel, or rather more than one novel, you know, edit it, package it, brand it, create a franchise around it, and then sell and market it, I can definitely do that because I've done it. But now I'm really looking to be able to teach the entire enchilada, like basically be able to offer a career plan, a package career plan to other people who want to emulate that step and become self-sustaining writers. And I have to be able to do that for myself before I can do that for other people. Same thing with filmmaking, same thing with game design. I really need to be able to go through the entire process of making a really good quality, like low to mid budget film, be able to like edit it well, you know, have effects in it if necessary, package it and sell it and actually make money off of it before I can tell other people how to become, you know, filmmakers in their spare time, you know what I'm saying? Or not in their spare time, but in order to be able to tell people how to become filmmakers that can sustain themselves off of the films they make. Like, so in order to do that, I need to give myself some time and space and some grace. And so in order to do that, I'm going to wait until at least 2025 to start offering services and acquisitions and things like that. And that should give me enough time to have like a really great working business model, not just for myself as an author, but for my entire Rebel Ragdoll Fempire and the subsidiaries that happen to be established at that point. And speaking of the Rebel Ragdoll Fempire, I have officially, just to sort of end this podcast on a more positive note, I have claimed the entire 10 subsidiary Fempire. Okay, I was really nervous about like pronouncing the things that I wanted to do, like all the things I wanted to do with Rebel Ragdoll. I was nervous about just talking about the other subsidiaries I wanted to open eventually, because it just, I feel sometimes it's hard to like not feel shame about your goals. And I'm not really sure. I think that comes like some of it comes from like that inner self-doubt that we constantly struggle with as writers and artists and creatives, right? But the other part of it is that you don't want to sound insane, and we ultimately look for validation from other people, and oftentimes we don't get it, because if our dreams are too big, if our goals are too big, right, we're often told and shown in various ways that like basically what we're going to do or what we're trying to do is not possible. We're told that all the time. And because I felt like to a certain degree, the things I wanted to do might be impossible, I was afraid to claim it, but I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to claim my entire Fempire right now. And no matter how long it takes, I'm going to establish and make successful all 10 subsidiaries of the Fempire. Okay. So this is the podcast where you're just going to hear the entire infrastructure of Rebel Ragdoll. I believe it either will be Inc. or LLC. Who knows? But this is what the infrastructure is going to look like for my badass Fempire. So Rebel Ragdoll is at the top. Basically, it's going to be the championship brand or the umbrella brand, as well as the holding company for the 10 subsidiaries that I would like to establish and maintain. And each of these 10 subsidiaries is involved in some aspect of the creative world. So Rebel Ragdoll is at the top. It's, you know, the brand that represents all 10 subsidiaries. But the other subsidiaries, the 10 subsidiaries, I can't even speak because I'm so excited. I'm like claiming my power, y'all. The 10 subsidiaries that I want to be a part of Rebel Ragdoll between now and like eventually include Rebel Ragdoll Press, which will deal with publishing, novels, etc. Rebel Ragdoll Productions, which will deal with film and television and like producing really good film and television in like sci-fi, fantasy, horror genres, as well as action and crime noir. Chick Rogue Studios, which is going to focus on not just apps, software, and game design for both mobile and 3D game consoles, but also just on tech in general. I was afraid to claim the tech aspect, you know, the hardware tech, the tech software, the social media tech that I'm thinking about trying to develop through Chick Rogue. And I'm just not going to be afraid to claim that anymore. Chick Rogue is going to be all tech, all women, all day. All right, that's my dream. Then number four is going to be, or is, New Adult Noir, which is already doing pretty okay, you know, in its first, you know, two quarters. It's actually like kicking a lot of ass compared to like a lot of startup businesses. And that deals with content discovery and author content promotion. So that's where you can basically find all the dark and gritty genre stuff that you're looking for. And it's a great way to build like my brand as well, alongside of like getting other authors' names out there. Number five, which I'm working on basically for 2018, I'm developing like product lines, recipes, and like doing some testing right now, is going to be the Blackheart Boulange. All right, yes, the Blackheart Boulange, which in that little mini cluster, because that's like the sort of lead brand of the Blackheart franchise, under that cluster, or in that cluster, is going to be the Blackheart Bakery, the Blackheart Boudoir, the Blackheart Boutique, and Blackheart Books. So Blackheart Boulange actually could be its own entire, like, basically holding company with its own subsidiaries. But I'm actually going to put just all of that under Rebel Ragdoll. And the Boulange as a whole specializes in craft artisanal products that helped authors basically promote their works and novel series and stuff. So we find ways basically to turn authors' novel series, mine in particular, but eventually other authors' series, into goods and merchandise, particularly for skincare, hair care, artisanal baked goods, merch like cups and mugs and stuff, and like t-shirts and stuff like that. So the Blackheart Boulange is essentially like another content promotion outlet, but it's more based on artisanal, handcrafted brands that essentially help authors to extend their marketing reach and to put a unique twist on the way that they market their brands and their novels. So as I said before, I'll be starting with my own brand. And when that's successful, then I'll actually branch that service out to other authors. So that's the first five, okay? The next five include the Dollhouse Foundation, which, as you guys know, is the charitable and philanthropic arm of Rebel Ragdoll, which essentially will provide scholarships to single moms and single women who are interested in creating a career based on their creative talents. So if they want to make a career out of being an author, a filmmaker, game designer, blogger, life coach, whatever, the goal of the Dollhouse Foundation is to provide scholarships to support these women's endeavors, but also their, if we get enough money, their lifestyles for a few years so that they can work on their businesses and have them up and running in like 3 years and have them sustainable. Because I really want to be essentially like a seed investor, right, in people's futures and in their businesses. And so that's Dollhouse. That's the Dollhouse Foundation. Of course, we have the Bohemian Badass, the brand of which may or may not change in the future. I haven't decided yet. The name is not in flux right now, but I've just been getting some inklings that it might be a good idea to update that brand. But the Bohemian Badass is specifically like the educational and creative university arm of Rebel Ragdoll, which takes everything that both I know and like my colleagues and like my fellow creatives know and turns those things into like really affordable courses in the areas of like writing craft, filmmaking craft, marketing, selling, blogging, etc. So that's essentially like the school. That's our little school. We give you films and novels and games and, you know, baked goods and like merchandise and fashion. But then we also teach you how to do these things on your own for a nominal fee. And the courses are going to be like amazing and wonderful. So the final three, if I can remember, I'm gonna have to look at my little wall over here. Actually, hold on. Oh, yes. Okay. So the dream is so big, I can't even remember it all. Then we have Michelini by Rebel Ragdoll, which is going to specialize specifically in, like, fashion. So I would really love, actually, I would adore the opportunity to, like, hire fashion designers, like, you know, basically, like, buy their or license their portfolios from them, particularly if they're, like, fashion designers of color, who have a hard time breaking into the industry, especially if they're independent fashion designers. Like, I literally want to sit down and buy, like, entire lines, and then just, like, make the stuff, make the pants, the shoes, the belts, the accessories, the blouses, the dresses, the jumpers, you know, just everything, and then, like, just sell that as, like, literally the fashion arm of Rebel Ragdoll. So eventually I do want to go into and produce fashion items. And I think Michelini by Rebel Ragdoll will also deal specifically with some areas of couture fashion. We'll see. Not haute couture, but maybe just couture. Which, you know, might be, like, blasphemy to some of you, like, fashion heads out there. But, like, you know, I want Rebel Ragdoll to be within reach of everyday women, you know, who don't make maybe millions of dollars a year and have thousands to spend on fashion. And then the last two subsidiaries, which will come along eventually, are Subterranime, which will deal specifically with manga, comics, and animation. And then Doll Theater, which I hope, because running a theater company is expensive as hell, but I hope that I'll be able to help to develop the voices and the works of new writers and playwrights of color, especially if these playwrights are trying to deal with genres that don't appear so often on the stage, like sci-fi genres, you know, lit RPG genres, fantasy genres, gaming genres. You know, and we won't be limited to those genres. I do also want to do some, quote, serious theater. And I also want to deal with social issues and social justice issues in my theater. But I really do want to try my best to keep all of these subsidiaries and everything that we do under my brand of Rebel Ragdoll, which happens to just focus on, like I said, those genres in which we're technically underrepresented: action/action adventure, crime noir, sci-fi, fantasy. And of course, keeping with the mission of Rebel Ragdoll as a whole, these subsidiaries will be female dominated. We will see women, at the forefront as well as in the background, basically providing as many jobs and opportunities, scholarships, and support, as much support as necessary to, women in media. So I'm hitting all media, well, most media, as well as creative industries. You know, we're hitting the film industry, we're hitting publishing, we're hitting game design and tech, which is, like, we seriously are underrepresented in that area. We're hitting theater, which is dominated by, like, heterosexual white men. Fashion, not necessarily dominated by men in particular. I think there's a lot of women in fashion too, but dealing with that. You know, also, like, getting women into writing manga and, like, doing animation, which, again, we are underrepresented, in my personal opinion. And then, of course, through the Dollhouse Foundation, after we're done hustling, chasing that paper, chasing the dream, producing amazing products, amazing intellectual properties, and amazing work, we then continue to, you know, send the elevator back down, give, you know, to other people, keep reinvesting in our future, because we're not going to be around here for, you know, for forever. We need to build up the future creatives who are coming in after us, you know, just, like, giving back. The Dollhouse Foundation is essentially, aside from Rebel Ragdoll hiring in the communities that need it, the Dollhouse Foundation, I hope, will gain enough money, prestige and power to be able to then bring in that next major crop of strong, powerful, successful, creative women who are so often underrepresented in so many of the media outlets that we experience and deal with every day. So that is me claiming my entire Fempire, okay? My holding company, as well as its 10 subsidiaries that basically will become my life's work. Aside from my core identity as a sci-fi novelist and as a filmmaker, which is together with Rebel Ragdoll, but also separate. Aside from me making a name for myself and me pushing my own goals and legacies as an author and filmmaker, Rebel Ragdoll itself is my magnus opus. In addition to that, it's what I want to leave behind in this world. It's what I want to leave behind for my daughter. And it's what I want to leave behind for other women who are trying to hustle and make it in these industries where sometimes the glass ceiling is just like way too thick. So, you know, I'm taking a risk at being laughed at. I'm taking a risk of like not being taken so seriously because my dreams are too big. And I don't care because I know that I'm the one who's getting up at 3:30 in the morning and going to bed at 9, 10 o'clock at night to make this dream a reality. And, you know, this is the sort of interesting, again, dichotomy between comparisonitis and self-doubt, because alongside that, like, all I pretty much do is work and like be a mom. And the work is showing. It's just showing up in different areas. And so now it's just time for me to again to refocus that work ethic and that time and energy into other areas that might need more of a boost. So, and it's also time for me to hire a virtual assistant, which I'll talk more about next year, probably. Maybe I'll talk about it towards the end of the year. I know I mentioned it earlier in a podcast earlier in the year, but a virtual assistant is pretty much an absolute necessity at this point. Because despite the fact that my entire Fempire is not all up and running with all 10 subsidiaries up and running, like New Adult Noir is growing very rapidly. And I do need some help maintaining that throughout the year while I also focus on other things. So, you know, all the energy, time and effort is showing in certain places. And I have to make adjustments to make sure that it keeps going and that I keep showing. Speaking of adjustments, in order for me to show up tomorrow, I need to go to bed. So, there it is. I hope that you guys drew a little bit of inspiration from that mini reflection on like my failures as well as like my wins and like sort of what I'm trying to do to improve on that. Of course, I'll have an even more detailed I have a more detailed summary of what I've done in 2017 with very specific goals lined out for each area of the business and of my creative life, but that will not come until literally December 31st. So don't hold your breath for too long, but still stay tuned. All right. Having said that, I will talk to you guys soon. Stay badass, stay indie, keep hustling, keep creating, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.